Today we're going to start a series on prayer. And I'll get back to something with the real intro just now. But if I say pray or prayer or prayer meeting, what's the first thought that comes up? You don't have, please don't tell me. Please don't. But if it's positive or good, you can share it with me afterwards. But just if I say, let's pray, what do you think? If I say, die onse Vader, what comes up? I'm not speaking denomination now. I'm just speaking heart. Just be honest. If I say the Lord's Prayer, what comes up? If I say intercession and fasting and praying, what's the first thoughts that pops in your head? Remember those thoughts, and I'm trusting God, I'm knocking, I'm asking that whatever that thought was, and if not biblically God's will or even positive, I trust that those thoughts and that mindset perhaps will change over the next, not perhaps, will change over the next couple of months or seasons in our lives. Because I agree with what Sam just shared, like, God wants to take us back to a place of true worship. We know that God said that last year already. But that includes prayer. Biblical definition of praying is, by the way, also worship. So if you're praying, you're worshiping as well. It's not just singing songs. That's nice. It's great. But praying is a way of worship to God. But I'm running ahead. I wanted to reflect quickly. If you can go to the next slide, I'll appreciate that. Let's quickly reflect. We've been here for 6 or 7 months, and it's been an awesome ride. I know prophetically God says things to us for this year. We're consecrating the year to the Lord. We're trusting God for word for this year, of words for this year, prophetic vision, etc., individually and as a congregation. That's all nice and dandy, but have you ever noted that God's spiritual seasons is not always confined to our calendar? You wanted a job in 2014, it didn't rock up on the 31st of December. If you desperately wanted a husband and get married, or desperately wanted a wife and get married, it didn't happen the 1st of January this year. Sometimes the seasons overlap. So to a great degree, yeah, let's see God for this year, but also to a lesser degree maybe, I think we're still in a season that started off last year. God said to us time and time and again, if you guys want to be authentic church, Tens Jacob said way back in July or June, if you want to be authentic church, it needs to be seen out there. And I said the week thereafter, but if we want to be an authentic, a real godly church, we want to follow Jesus, we have to be that collectively. And that means we need to be that individually. And I said we're in a Western civilization where we're like Martha running around doing stuff, but never getting to his feet and saying, having that Mary moment of just saying, wow, this is the God I serve. Fill me up, fuel me up. Not being selfish and then going out and doing the things with him. With him. We chatted about not being able to do it, yoking with Christ, etc. And at the end of last year, we ended off by, what is true rest? And we realized we're only going to find it in Christ. Who had true rest this holiday? I had about an hour every morning in my quiet time. So the rest of the time was just busy. And I came back with a cold. So I guess it's a great illustration of practice what you preach. Sorry, guys, I'm still learning. But we'll get there someday. And we ended off last year with a foundational scripture for this church, which I believe is in this season very, very important, and which we should not lose sight of, and that's Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, and here's the clincher, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. People, Christians especially these days, want to do. We don't understand why God does not get on our page many a times. But I think he challenges us to get onto his. He's the Father and I'm his child. And he wants to invite me onto his page because it's so much more fun on his page than it is on mine. And I believe that's the scripture that was foundational for this church 5 years back or 6 years back, and it's going to stay in foundational until the Lord brings fruition to that, and until the Lord gives true birth to that scripture. Not by might, nor by power, especially not by Retief, not by you guys, but by His Spirit through us and in us. We need His help. So that was just in reflecting that we can remember what the Lord's heart is. If you should ask me, Retief, what is this deep, prophetic, amazing, mountaintop, glorious, prophetic vision for the year for the church? If I should get all American on the subject, I'll say it's one thing. Lord, we want to grow in you. Lord, we want to be disciples. Lord, we can't go disciple the nations if we're not disciples ourselves. And we want to grow. And the massive prophetic thing that I feel on my heart is two things. And God said it the first weekend, for those who weren't here, I wanted to preach on peace. God took over and we just gave words, and there was a couple of songs and free worship, and it was just God doing all the talking. It was awesome. And three or four people said, the word of God. So what's this massive revelation that I think we need to grab hold on for this year? I think the word of God. The word of God and prayer. Now, sorry if that's not exciting enough. Trust me, it's going to get exciting when we get hold of both of them. If we're truly in the way God ordained it to be, the way He created it to be, and the way He anoints us to do it, if we get hold of His Word and get entrenched and dig into and jump into and eat and get filled up by His living Word and get to know Him in prayer and to get to know His works in His hand in prayer in our lives and in our church and even in our community, if we get both of that, this sure ain't stopping us at all. But it's not a DVD pack. It's not a weekend seminar. It's not a PowerPoint presentation. It's not something you can download or upload. It's the Word of God. And it's getting to know Him and each other in prayer. That's my deep prophetic revelation for at least the start of this year. I hope I didn't disappoint you at all. Sorry, that came out a bit sarcastic. I guess it was. But I meant it in love. Because I think if you see great moves of God all through the ages, this book, not the nie net die lettertjies nie, nie net die wit op swart nie, but the living word and prayer had a lot to do with it. So if you want to be something, I love the words revival, I love miracle signs and wonders, and man, I would like to contend for much, much, much more. I love the freedom of God's Spirit. I love free worship. I love prophetic words and all of the manifestations of His gifts. I love it. But if you want to be part of something big, I guess it starts with those two things. And I might be repeating it, so please forgive me. But are we going to trust that God does that in us? And let us pray. Lord, thank you. We want to grow, Lord. And the more we grow, the smaller we should get and should become. The bigger we become in you, and the further you take us in life, Lord, and in following Christ and becoming more Christ-like, I guess the smaller we're going to get in ourselves. Less of me and more of you, Lord. More of you and less of me. Lord, I believe you said through Stephen and a couple of others that your word's going to be paramount in our lives, Lord. But I confess, Lord, my flesh is not that keen on reading and jumping into your word every single day, the whole day long, Lord. But I know that your Spirit can empower me, Father God, to gobble up, to read, and to start living in your word, Lord. Lord, you've got a plan for each one of us this year, Lord, and those that can't be here today, especially, Lord. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, help us to to get stuck into the parts of the Word that God wants to reveal and help and feed us from. And then on the other hand, Lord, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, we started off by saying, what comes up when I say prayer? I'm lucky enough that when you say pray, I would say, waar, wanneer, en hoe laat. In other words, where, when, and how long. I really, by the grace of God, I really love prayer. I really like prayer. I like good food, which is maybe more evident than the prayer, but I love certain stuff in life, and I really like prayer. I didn't always like prayer, not at all. I had to go through a few funny seasons to start liking prayer. I sometimes had to be at my far most worst, feeling like an absolute worm, having nothing in the world, or like Francisco said earlier, not meeting anybody's standards, being without a job, looking like an absolute... Wat is nou mooi woord dat ek in die kerke gebruik? Nobody. There's much more colorful words than that, but I felt like an absolute nobody at a certain stage of my life, and I was privileged enough to get to know God in prayer. That need not be the path that we follow to get to know God in prayer. It doesn't have to be so desperate, especially not if it's our Father, but we'll get to that pretty soon. I started to love praying. But if you tell me praying is really dead to you, it's really boring and it's dead. And I've realized maybe the God to whom you're praying is dead. And that's more or less where we're going to angle today. That's more or less what we're going to ask each other today. Who's the God you're praying to? Praying feels dead. And yes, sometimes praying is a bit of a struggle. I've got a new thing of getting up at a certain time in the morning. God said to me this year, that's the time. I mean, believe you me, prayer is not that fireworks, filled with fireworks necessarily that time of the morning. But yet, as I get into it, I remember, oh, yeah, oh, it's you I'm talking to, and then I'm all in a much better space. But if prayer feels dead, or the word feels dead sometimes to you, it's either there's a massive battle, or you're praying to a God that's dead. And we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to trust the Holy Spirit to, through His Word and through His Spirit, to reveal to us to be a people that truly like praying. Do you like talking to... Who of you have been married for quite a long time? But it's nice having a chat to your spouse. It's nice to chat to them. If you've got sons and daughters, it's really awesome to communicate with them. And praying is simply that. It's communicating with God. I wanted to say, you know who your spouse is, so it's easy to talk to them. But sometimes you don't know who your spouse is. That's just a joke. But as you get to know each other, your communication grows. Luckily, Edna's sitting at the back. You can't see how the way she looks at me and frowns at me, so that's great. But it's important to know who you're talking to. Let's quickly look at Scripture, the positive part of Mark 11:17. Then he began to teach them, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" Now, guys, we're going to do a series on prayer, and I'm not saying this is a den of thieves, or at least I don't hope so. Edna, het jy die doeksak gecheck, is my beersie nog daar? Okay, great. Oh, nou weet julle waar my beersie is. I wasn't too smart. Joke net. But this is not a den of thieves, and that's not what we're focusing on. God said way back in Isaiah, and Jesus repeated it there in Mark, "My house should be called the house of prayer." Now, if we did only praying here on Sundays, not the smoke, not the lights, not the fluffies, especially not the cake and the coffee, not the chairs, if we only came here to pray, Wie van julle sou hier gewees het? I would pro- Dankie Petrie. They weren't, daar is nie 'n kitaar nie, hoor. That was just a tongue-in-cheek question, but probably neither would I. But it's maybe not because we haven't tasted the true fruit of prayer, or maybe not tasted it that often. God said, my house should be called the house of prayer. And he didn't mean that to bore the living daylights out of people. He just said, hey guys, when you come to my house, we should have a great chat. Who likes to go for a coffee and have a great chat? All the ladies and me. I'm a pastor. I like to have coffee and have good chats. Now, if this was a house that you come to and have a great chat with God, and I mean that with respect, but if you come to this place and say, man, I'm going to have a go have an awesome chat with the Lord. And in fact, I'm not going to only chat to him. He's going to chat back. For some people, that might be weird. It puts it in a different context than only saying, this is a house of prayer. Sorry, I'm digressing. This is not up there, but Psalm 34 verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in him. And for me, that just sums up the heart. Why are we talking about prayer? I'm just saying, in prayer, I've tasted by the grace of God many a times, and I know that the Lord is good. And I'm saying, let's not call this a house of prayer just to look all spiritual and godly. But let's trust the Lord to taste him through prayer, to get to know him through prayer, to taste and know that he is good through our prayer life. Please, guys, just sit down, relax. Don't get so excited. Luke 11, verse 1. He was praying in a certain place, and when he was finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. As a backbone for this, I don't know how many part series of prayer, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew 6 and then obviously in Luke 11. And Luke 11 states the following, and I like that. And I just quickly want to stand still. Lord, teach us to pray. These guys were fishermen, rough nuggets. They've been around the block. They've been with Jesus for a couple of days. They saw him preach. They saw the stuff that happened. They saw it bear fruit. They also knew the religious systems, or at least they saw the religious systems and the ways in which the Pharisees and Sadducees operated. And they were, quite frankly, hypocrites if you look at the Bible. So they came to Jesus and said, well, you're doing something. You're having a chat with God. You're talking to God. He's obviously talking back because things are happening. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, even though I'm in a privileged life where I think I have tasted and I've met God through prayer, I'm at that place where, again, I want to say, Lord, teach me to pray. Because as soon as you, in Christianity, as soon as you think you've got something knuckled down, and I don't have prayer knuckled down, I'm not saying that. But as soon as you do think you've got something knuckled down, you might get to that humble place of saying, Lord, please come and teach me. And that's my challenge. Well, that's, I believe, the Lord's challenge to me this year, or at the beginning of this year, and yours. You don't have to pray. You don't have to fake it until you make it. You don't have to squeeze out words. You don't even have to come to intercession. Don't record that part. But you don't have to come to intercession to impress anybody, not even the Lord. But what I do want you to ask is, if it's truly in your heart, say, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, just teach me to pray. And by the way, I'm not saying you can't pray. Most of you are awesome prayers. But it's part of a sermon, so I have to say all of this. Get to a place where you say, humbly say, Lord, again, from scratch almost, teach me to pray. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer for the next couple of weeks. And we're going to run through it just now. Martin Luther said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. Now, a dead religious format or dead prayer, or prayers that goes up because it's now time to pray, or prayers that goes up because I want to keep the pastor happy or I need to tick the box. Those are usually the ones where you try to bend God's arm. God, please come and save the nation. Lord, I'll come, please. And I mean this with respect, but sometimes we do think wrongly. Lord, come and be with the Erasmus family. Come, we bend his arm. He wants to be with them much more than we can even fathom. Lord, come and bring in the salvation of the lost. Come, please do, please do. I see you busy with other stuff, Lord. You're running a business or you're going fishing, but come, please save the lost. That's not the thing. And then in prayer, I believe we're going to see God's willingness, and it's so much more easy to pray. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. What is the definition of prayer? And we've said that it's talking to God. In the most simplest of forms, talking to God. There's some Greek there for those intellectuals of you that like reading Greek or Hebrew. You're more than welcome. For the rest of us, praying is to pray to God. That is supplicate, worship, pray earnestly for or make prayer. And I love the word worship there. And it just slots in with what Sam said earlier. Prayer is a form of worship. Before we get to the line we're going to look at today, let's quickly read through the Lord's Prayer. Maybe before I do that, I was brought up typical Afrikaner household and did typical Afrikaner stuff. Try not to do most of them anymore, except which is culturally biblical. So I'm working through that process. But long story short, we all grew up with the Ons Vader or the Lord's Prayer. How many of you have said the Lord's Prayer aloud in church or wherever? Probably everybody. Who's ever said the Lord's Prayer from beginning to end without thinking about the words? Who's ever said the Lord's Prayer and whilst you're saying the Lord's Prayer, you've thought of lunch? Okay. Who's listening to me and thinking about lunch? Okay, well, sorry, Wimpie. Jy kan verskoon word, man. That was not a real test, but it was like a religious poem to me. I just wanted to know it off heart, and as soon as I knew it off heart, it was just like autopilot. There was even, I think, and it's, I'm not mocking and I'm not knocking the use of the Lord's Prayer. Please hear me, we're getting to the heart of this. I'm just saying, like we saw this morning, sometimes we do things, we can even sing a song, we can do certain things, but the heart is so far removed from it. I made a mental note of this, and I keep on, especially with your family and those close, you need to do that. If I walk in this morning and I see Orfie and Monique, I see a lot of you, I say, hello, hoe gaan het, goed met jou, dankie, goed, gaan met school, gaan, and it comes a bit of a rimpie. It's just the thing you say. And I had a moment with Monique where I realized I went halfway there of just going on autopilot, and I didn't see her for who she is. And luckily, the Lord probably convicted me, so I can't be even self-righteous. And I stopped myself and I asked her again. She thought I was mad. But it was just, I needed to go from a place where it was autopilot head to a place where it was heart. Monique, hoe gaan het met jou? Jy hoef nie weer te sê vir hom alie, maar I needed to get to a place where I truly want to know how Monique is doing. And that's the Lord's Prayer. So, what did he just say? That's the heart of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look through it line by line and not just ramble it off and know it by heart and saying, hallo, hoe gaan het met jou? Goed, met my, baie dankie, warinkie van die bokke en die weer. Goed, tot ziens, bye. No, it's not like that. It's say, Lord, what is the heart of this? The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. We don't know what. And he said, here it is. Here's the model prayer. Not to repeat the same way, but there's certain elements in you, hidden gems even, if you will, that he wants to show us of what effective prayer and true prayer can be. Does that make sense? Because I believe it's really important and foundational for us to move over the next couple of weeks. I shouldn't walk so far away. The Lord's Prayer. Therefore, you should pray like this. And don't go in sleeping mode. Now, focus. Focus. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's even difficult reading it. It's such a struggle sometimes because it just goes off in your head. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us all our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So guys, that's going to be the backbone, and we're going to look what is hidden in there. What's the true heart of it, line by line? But it's going to be substance over form. The disciples said humbly, man, we see what you're doing. We like what you're doing. We want some of that. Teach us to pray. And this is what the Lord said to them. And I think we should take note. Can we go to that first line? Just the next one, please. That one, thank you. Matthew 6, verse 9. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven. And today, we're not even going to look at the whole verse. We're going to look at two words. Who can guess those two words? Father in heaven, that's a good one. Peter, you said? Our Father. Peter is recht. 50% is some slagcijfer, so that's all right. Dank je. 50% is good. We're only going to look at two words today, and that is our Father. And I want to ask that question of a bit earlier again. Who is the God that you are praying to? When you think prayer, when you think intercession, when you think prayer meeting, when you think, man, this food looks good, let's quickly pray that we can eat. Who's the God that you are praying to? Our Father. And it's the right answer. But we're going to start scratching, I believe, in an area where sometimes it might be sensitive. Hopefully it is. Because we want to get to a place where what is in my heart, our Father, links up and is in line with the one described here, which links up, described with the one that is in each and every of our hearts. But it is the same Father. Now, in the Old Testament, it said that, well, firstly, in the Bible, there's a lot of names. I went and I tried to count, and this commentary said this amount of, this number of names. The others said a bit more, a bit less, but it's a lot of names contributed to God in the Word. There's a lot of various names, and it describes parts of His character, it describes who He is, and it's really awesome. But it's funny, in the Old Testament, only 15, and it's quite a hefty amount of reading and substance, but only 15 times is God referred to as Father, but it's not as directly either. It's mostly a case of the Father of Israel, etc., etc. 15 times in the Old Testament. How many times do you think, and please don't say more than 165. How many times in the Gospels do you think is God referred to as the Father? I said don't say more than 165. Otherwise, what I'm saying doesn't have any impact. 165 plus. So I guess Petri is again right. 50 rankies for you. But it's 165 times plus, they say, in the Gospels alone. Jesus refers to, and the Word refers to God as Father. And it's interesting change, I believe, that we need to note that happened when Jesus came to, to the party. The next slide, please. Previous slide, thanks. Previous one? That previous one, thank you. One's understanding of prayer varies in accordance with one's conception of the two parties involved, namely the divine and the human, and their relation to each other. Now, this sounds very scientific, but it's obviously very easy. Your heart towards prayer, or your conception of prayer, or even your understanding of prayer, will really revolve around two things. Who am I? And who am I praying to? And that is my question to myself, because I believe you me, as I go through these things, I get tested quite well, and it's great, really a great exercise. But that's my question to you. If you think prayer, if you think whatever came up earlier, who's the two people, who's the two entities in your heart? If I say pray, what do you think? Who are you? Who do you see yourself as? And the divine one, God, how do you truly see him? If I should say, draw me a picture, write down, what do you see? What do you see? What is on your heart? Who is that? Because that has a massive, massive, massive impact of the way you'll be praying. And I believe the way in which we see God will obviously, and we're not going into depth in this, but it will determine the trust, faith, and the authenticity of your prayer. But it sounds like pie in the sky, or some of it sounds, no, not even huge words, but it's really very simple, guys. But we need to use this as a test and trust the Lord that we get to that real, true biblical place of seeing him for who he is. Let's go over to Our Father. Now, even Our Father in this context, the words Our Father has a bit of spiritual and religious, more, let I rather say religious baggage. If I say sex, I'm just checking if everybody's awake. If I say sex, there's a certain connotation, there's something that comes up. For some of us, hurt. For some of us, gross. For some of us, great and godly. We need to all get to the, by the way, great and godly part. But that's a sermon series for way in the future. The thing is, if I say Our Father, likewise, what comes up? And we need to trust that God really installs that true meaning to us. If you say God, look at what's recently happened, and we're not going to spend much time on that, but just look at what has been happening around the world in the name of God, or a God, this last couple of months and years. What happened in Paris, what happens in Yemen, and what happens up in Africa and in Nigeria. And it's just crazy what happens in the name of a God. So it's important to start fighting for your picture, your heart, your mindset of what God truly is. And a half-truth can be a very scary and dangerous thing. It's a little bit of leaven, it's a little bit of, call it then, poison that can spoil a real good lunch. And likewise, a little bit of lie can spoil a God-given or God-heart picture for each and every one of us. John 14 verse 7 says the following. Jesus is at word. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him, and I've seen him. If you know me, you'll also know my Father. Now, why is that important? Without believing in Christ, without holding up the truth of Christ, without having the key of Christ, do you think I can effectively pray to God? Do you think I can effectively pray to God without Jesus? Not talking formula. I'm not saying if you don't use the word Jesus, then it's not an authentic prayer, and they throw it out in the, what's that thing in your emails? Junk mail, or what's it? No, I'm not saying that. We're talking heart. We're talking heart here. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We many a time say that, and it is. It is the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus is the way to what? Good living? BMW, good job, a spouse, going on holiday for your 10th anniversary. Is it their 10th anniversary? Oh, it's also ours. I was actually pulling Edna's leg. She's standing in faith to go on a trip. Sorry, that was awesome. Well, Edna, there's a testimony, so now you can go and knock on God's door for that. Sorry, it was a bit of a personal joke. It was not that personal then. What is Jesus the way to? Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the way to the Father. That's why he came. Yes, he might give you a BMW if you do drive one. I apologize, it was nothing. BMWs are awesome. If you do go on a holiday for your 10th anniversary, awesome. Yes, God can bless you, but I'm not saying anything but. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is a massive key, then obviously to praying. Who's the God you're praying to? And are we looking through the spectacles of Jesus Christ? Are we looking through Christ to see the Father? Now, Jesus referred to, and I said how many times, he referred to God as Father, and he said, Abba, Father. It's an Aramaic phrase that was used especially for young, little children looking to their dad. Some people quote it as daddy. Now, for some people that might be a bit rough, but it was young children, or especially young children, looking up to their fathers and saying, Abba. Now, you can just think in the spiritual or the religious background and religious context of that time when Jesus rocked up, that this was just, that was a bit out of the box. Firstly, he says he's the son, and then he calls him Abba, and he's a grown man. But there's something of that heart that we need to get hold of. There's something of what God portrayed for us, calling Father God Abba. Some people say daddy, papa, even in Afrikaans. There's something to get hold of. There's a heart that God wanted to show us that I believe is crucial and key in effective prayer. If you've been praying to a God that you're not sure, does he heal, does he not heal? Does he kill, does he not kill? Is he in a good mood, is he in a bad mood? If that's been struggles in your head all these years, then it's going to be quite evident in your praying life. But if you had the revelation, as Jesus did, of who this God truly is, and that he was actually his Abba, one that on whose lap he could sit, one that he can be brutally honest with, one that he loves and loves him, it changed, obviously, Jesus' praying life and his communication. And likewise, I believe that revelation will change our praying if needed to be changed. Jesus is a massive key for us in praying. Let's look at Romans. This is where we start fitting in. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, are sons of God. So we've been seeing Jesus show us he's the key, he is a son, and now we become sons as well, sons and daughters. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, or cry, Abba, Father. If I say pray, do you hear Abba, Father? If I say prayer meeting, do you think Abba, Father? I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying, what are we doing now? We're just knocking here on the inside. We're just knocking the stuffing and saying, what's really in here? I'm a Christian. I believe in God. Yes, he's a good God. Well, look what happened. How do you explain that? Oh, good question. I wonder who he truly is. We just knock a bit. We just knock the stuff inside here to see what really stands and what falls over. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. We are children of God. Jesus, teach us to pray. Pray like this. You're children of God. Say, Our Father. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. It's quite obvious, don't need to ask it again. What is your picture of a father? What is your picture of a father? We've got very little, if not no time. And if you really have to go very quickly, not very quickly, if you have to go, you're more than welcome, but we might be a couple of minutes late. But I think it's important. Or at least it's important in my life. But what is your picture of a father? I've recently spent time with guys at one of the local high schools. One guy I told you before, but it just keeps on knocking my emotions. But he's about 15 years old. He's spoken to his father, his earthly father, once. He's never seen him. The other guy's seen him twice, don't know his father's name. If that young guy comes to me and says, "Hey, Retief, man, I see you pray a lot, and what's that funny stuff you do with your mouth?" And I'll say, "That's tongues." And he say, "Well, when you speak real to God, how do you do it?" And I'd say him, sorry, that's Afrikaans. And I tell him, "Let's pray. Our Father." I'll probably lose him by the second word. What's a father to him? What is a father to him? And that's just my question to you. What is a father to you? Sorry, guys, this is quite deep stuff, but we might go through life not asking these questions, not going to these places, not revisiting these places. And I don't want us... Ek wil nie eens met spyt wees nie. I don't want us to miss out. Just in a nutshell, I had an awesome father. He passed away when I was in my second year. I was 20 years old. Great dad. Awesome communicator. He lost his father at 7. So he didn't know how to father. He had to grab hold of the ropes and try to do it. And he did an awesome job. But one thing happened. Even though he was an awesome communicator, my father also had an extramarital affair. And my mother and my father got divorced when I was grade 2. Now, in other words, here I had an awesome father that was a great communicator. And I honor him, by the way. He's dead. I don't worship him. I honor him. But I need to tell the story because we need to get to the nuts and bolts of prayer. That's why I'm sharing it. So please bear with me. So I had a father that was an awesome communicator, loving dad, always wanted to give presents and do all the stuff that kids love. Yet, after him and my mother got separated, he wasn't at home. God the Father is also Emmanuel. That means God with us. I had a father that talked a lot to me and was emotionally really intact, something that the Afrikaners don't always know, by the way. I think I was the odd exception in our house. So I'm really privileged. Talked a lot. Yet, I could not see God Emmanuel in my own home. I went to bed with a single mother, most of the time scared. Now that sounds weird coming from a guy that's 32 years old. Even when I was older, I would easily get scared. Why? Why Retief is weird? It's freaky. Very simple, guys. I didn't have a father. I just simply didn't have a father at home. I could not see, I could not be discipled in the way of God Emmanuel, God with us. Now, was I a victim and did I stay there? No, not at all. The lucky for me and for God is, as soon as I got saved, I immediately started to hear God's voice. Other people say, "Well, I never hear God's voice. I've been saved for years. I don't hear his voice. He's talking to you, but you're just not hearing it." And it might be that you don't know God as a communicator because you weren't that privilege of a God talking to you as my father spoke to me a lot. But we need to revisit that because sometimes that leaves a bit of an indent. Leaves a place where, like this morning, there's a place where, guys, we're struggling maybe to worship some of us. Why is that? Where did we get robbed? Was it God's heart that my mother and father got divorced? No, not at all. He let it work out for the good, eventually. But was that his heart? Did he want me to see a flaw in God's character that there isn't because the devil lied? No, God didn't want that. Luckily for me, I spotted it, and obviously God brought healing. Some of us might never have had a father and say, well, what do I do then? How do I pray to this God that if you say, Father, I want to puke. Sorry I say that, but some people are in that place. But praise God, in this week, I just thought of Joyce Myers. Her own dad molested her. Sorry that I refer to something as gross as that. I hate this stuff. But that happened to her. She got horribly, horribly treated by her own father. But God restored, brought healing, restoration, and now today you can obviously see that she knows God the Father. In love, pastoral as I possibly can be, I put the question to you again. How do you see God the Father? How do you see a Father? Why do we live in an environment where it's fatherlessness is rife? You don't have to go far to see a bunch of broken homes. Why do you think the devil minds that? Why does he do that? God came through his son, wanted to portray himself as a father. Where's the place where we're going to get hit the hardest? Sorry, it sounds all doom and gloom, but it's not. It's really not. We're going to trust God in this time, that he really touches our heart, and where there's been one or two knocks, that God restores that. Because, do you know what? My Father, God the Father, is Emmanuel, God with us. Ratif, how can you say that now? Because I've got experience. I've got experience of God the Father being with me. Since I've got saved, God came and he said, I'll let everything work out for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. I said, alles te goede laat meewerk. And he did. One evening, really stupid example, but we were in Malmesbury, as you know, didn't have much. I opened the Yskas's fridge. Yskas's freezer, no. The Yskas there, the fridge door. And as I opened it, I stood there with the door in my hand. It's obviously an old Yskas. So the thing broke, the bracket broke. Now, I am not Mr. DIY. You can ask my wife. I've tried one or two things, and sometimes it works. Praise God, thank you, Pinterest and my wife. But or you Google it. But I'm really not Mr. DIY, and I was just so knocked by this fridge that just broke because we didn't have the money for a new one. In fact, I didn't even know what I was looking for in there in the first place. It was really a tough season. So now I stood there with the freaking door. And I'm just like, Lord, how much worse can it get? And you're like, Ratif, it's a fridge. But come on, bear with me, it's a story. For me, that was rough. And I stood there with the door, and I just like put it back, but it couldn't open anymore, so you have to take it, put it down there, and you come and you just place it back there. And I just started, and I said, God, you need to be my father. And I started praying. And now, most of you would probably say, most guys would say, Ratif, you couldn't your brain gebruik. But that was not my strong point. And immediately God started to show me things. Like, there's an L-shaped thing that I can go and buy. He showed me tools that I can use, and it started to flow. And I'm like, Lord, what is this? And God just showed me exactly the stuff that was needed. I can't say measurements, that I needed to guess myself. I wasn't like Noah, but it was close enough. It was a mean feat. It was almost like a freaking ark for me. But bottom line is God just started to show me the stuff that I needed to fix this thing. Went down to the hardware shop, went and bought it, put it on, screwed in. First thought it wouldn't work. Didn't know how I'm going to put it in. I can try to explain the technical stuff. Maybe I'll take photos and come and show you why. But for me, it was a massive exercise, and God just talked me through it. And I'm like, Ratif, hoor jy stemme? Well, nee, I hear a voice, and it was the Lord's, and he really showed me how to fix my fridge. It was just, and you might say, well, that's the darndest, weirdest story that I've heard in a long time, but I've got many such stories of being an adult, but choosing to become a child of God again. And in that moment where you just bow your knee, you say, Lord, yes, here I am, I look like a lighty. Come and help me. And he sorts it out. Many a times you can ask Edna, how many testimonies? Don't have any money. And God just comes and he just provides. But you need to come to that place where you're truly a child of him again. And you'll see him as a father. So I got to see God as Emmanuel, God with me, through prayer. And as I'm ending off, I'm going to skip one part and we'll get to that later at a later stage. But we said there's two entities. One is, who's the God? Who's the Father that you see when you pray? And the latter is also important because you can see him as a great father, but you see yourself as a slave. Do you see yourself as an adopted child? Do you see yourself as what the scripture refers to you to be, a child of God? I've said it many times before, and I will say it again in future. Well, I'm still a registered lawyer, but there were so many things, and it just connects with what Francisco said. There's so many things that wants to give you your identity and life. Are you a lawyer? No, I'm not. Yes, I'm a qualified lawyer, but that's not who I am. Are you Afrikaner? I speak Afrikaans, but I'm not an Afrikaner as such. You can define me as that on some register or on my ID, but that is not who I am in essence. That's not my core identity. Are you white, blanc, or are you black or brown, or what are you? That does not matter to me either. What does matter to me is this. I'm a son of the Most High God. I am a son of the Most High God. Now, I even look at Edna as I say that. Now I'm so full of faith, I can see how mountains melt. Sometimes I'm like, oh, Here, what is she? You need to get to this place again. Who am I? Because it determines a lot of how you pray. Are you praying like a slave? And this is said in love, please. We're knocking the stuff inside to see what comes up. Are you praying like a slave at the moment? Are you praying like an orphan? Or are you praying like Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you looking a situation in the eye? Are you looking at a mountain, knowing firstly God is a father, your father? Are you looking that mountain in the eye, knowing I'm a son of the Most High God? I'm not perfect, but I am this. I'm not my bank account. I'm not my car. I'm not my social influence. I'm not my status on Facebook. That is not who I am. I'm not that nice selfie next to the cappuccino with the harki. That's not who I am. I'm a son of the Most High God. That is who I am. Guys, foundationally, we're not going to talk about prayer even further if we don't get this right. Who's the Father we're praying to? Who's this God we're praying to? And who am I? Because if those two things, if those foundational things are in place. Anyway, I'm great. Sorry, I get too excited. Let's really end off. There's a battle, guys, for two things. For the heart of God and our identity as children. What did the serpent do? He said, did God really say? And what did he do later on in the Gospels, in Matthew? And after fasting, I'm just quickly referring to Jesus, and sorry, we're skipping through a bunch of stuff. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter, the enemy, the devil, came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Now, you know the story. But how many times a day, unknowingly, subconsciously, how many times a day does the devil actually come to all of us? Not giving him glory. Hear my heart. How many times does he come to us? He comes to the church of Christ. Comes to those following God and saying, if you truly are the Son of God, or just plainly said, are you truly a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? That's his job. He's the father of lies. And that's why we have to talk about these things. as Simone comes up, if you don't mind playing for us. Guys, we're going to talk about praying the next couple of weeks. I'm evidently quite excited about it. Sorry, we have gone on for a couple of minutes too long. Jesus said to his disciples, this is the way you should pray, and we're going to look at that. But we need to make up our minds and hearts. God, if there's a better way of communicating with you, if there's a way in which I can grow to pray, and it's not about you. As soon as you think you've got it, it's going to go out. There's some guys that really follow the Lord that God truly uses. Somebody mentioned the way back, a year back, I listened to something. Bill Johnson said, I think it was how many years he didn't have to pray for himself. He was just constantly praying for other stuff because he knew who he was and he knew the Father he's serving. And we can get to a place where it's not all about, Lord, we need to pay telecom. Lord, we need to fill the car with petrol. Lord, we want food. We're going to get to a place where you actually start seeing him through Christ, getting to know him. And the latter, also important, who are you in Christ? Let us pray. I'm not gonna call anything out or any. I don't have anything specific that I believe God wants to say to everybody. But I can ask this: if you like prayer afterwards, you say yes, something has just spoken to me and something in my heart. If something has touched your heart, then come and let's pray afterwards. Lord, we thank you. You are our Father. Lord, we lift up our God pictures to you. We lift up our Father pictures to you. We lift up the ideas and the thoughts that we have about ourselves. We lift it up to you. Individually, Father God, but as a congregation. Lord, and if anything, we ask for this, Father, that we will get to, through Jesus Christ, that we will get to know you and see you, Lord, of the God of the Word and God the Father. God the perfect Father. God the perfect Father. Holy Spirit, please help us all in that. Help us to grow in that. And if there's areas that God hurt, we ask for healing and restoration. Holy Spirit, thank you that you'll show us where our God picture and our Father picture is obscured. Or is a lie, or based on a lie, or where the enemy tried or tries to steal. And we trust that in this week and weeks to come, Lord, that you will restore unto us that true picture of what Christ had. And that we will pray to you, Lord, and talk to you and chat with you and get to know you in prayer, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.